Give the world a smile each day.
Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. And we are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. Hope you're having a great day today. And how was church yesterday? My, another great, great Lord's Day here at Bible Baptist Church. What a great start to the month of October that we had. A wonderful crowd, both morning and evening, and decisions made for the Lord throughout the day yesterday, not only in our services, but down at the prison at CRC in the morning, and also at the nursing home in the afternoon. And just a great, great day here at Bible Baptist Church. And I hope you had a great Sunday where you were, and that you were in your place, and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor. And more importantly, most importantly, that God spoke to your heart, gave you what you needed as we head in now to the first full week of October. And I hope you're ready to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him during the month of October. Just 3 months to go now. October, November, December, and 2025 will be finished, and we'll head into 2026. Hard to believe, isn't it? But we want to finish well. We want to finish strong. I want to talk to you today about four words that'll change your life. Four words that'll change your life. And it's Luke chapter 7. If you want to look there, if you're able to get a Bible. If not, just listen carefully. I'm going to read Luke 7 and start in verse number 36, where the Bible says this, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And then Jesus gives him a parable. And he says, a certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon said, Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, that is not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." All right? Now, can four words really change your life? Yes, they can. Can I give you some examples? I'm sorry, it's cancer. Or, yes, you are pregnant. Okay? How about, you owe $5,000? Or you owe $5,000, I guess, would be the four words. How about, the baby needs changed? Oh, here's one that'll change your life. You are being audited. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus can change your life with just four words. Four words. I want to tell you that that the Lord always stands ready, willing, and able to help you. The great physician is always on call, and he has diagnosed your problem. He's already prescribed the correct treatment through his word, and he has knowledge. He has all the knowledge he needs about you because he knows everything about you. And even he knows the things that you haven't told anyone else. He has the expertise and ability to take care of you. Now, as we read this story today, I want to ask you the question, and you ask yourself the question, where are you in this story? Who are you in this story? Are you the woman? I mean, in those days, women were not invited or accepted at banquets. They were second-class citizens. Jewish rabbis did not even speak to women in public. They didn't eat with them in public. And a woman of this type would not even have been invited into the house of Simon. Though her sins are not named, we get the impression that she was a woman of the street or someone who had a pretty bad reputation. She sensed a deeper, desperate need in her life, and she knew she was a sinner. And she knew about Jesus. And though she knew she was a sinner, she took her most valued, highly valued possession, perfume, which she used to wear to attract men to herself, and broke it and used it to anoint Christ. And then her hair, the woman's glory, she humbly used to dry his feet. She surrendered herself in complete humility. Are you the woman? Are you the host? Are you Simon, the wealthy Pharisee who hosted the dinner? I mean, the homes of the wealthy often had an open courtyard, usually in the center of the house. And sometimes the host would allow the public to stand around the outside of the courtyard and listen to the discussions, especially if the guest was some great teacher or celebrity. But he too was a sinner in great need, but he didn't realize it because he was blind, spiritually blind. It was easy for him to say, "She's a sinner. She is a sinner." But so far, it was impossible for him to say, I am a sinner. Boy, there's four words, but only one is life-changing. He was considerate but self-righteous. He thought himself better than that woman. He sensed no need of forgiveness in his own life. He may have been a good moral person, but he wasn't on his way to heaven. He was on his way to hell. You see, you don't go to heaven by being good. You go to heaven by being saved. Now, which person are you? All of us are in one category or the other. Either we sense our great need of salvation, or we don't. Jesus gave that short little parable that the one has to be aware of sin in his heart. And when he is aware of sin in his heart, he's thankful that God has forgiven his sins. You see, both of these, the woman and the Pharisee, were spiritually bankrupt and couldn't pay their debt to God. And that's who we are. We're all spiritually bankrupt. We're all unable to pay our debt to God. And so how incredible it must have been when Jesus looked at the woman and said those life-changing words, "Thy sins are forgiven," verse 48. Listen to those words again. "Thy sins are forgiven." Thy, that's the second person in the nominative objective case, indicating the person being addressed. In other words, he's talking to you. He's addressing you. He's addressing me. He's addressing us. It's not a cold, impersonal, flippant comment. He's not talking about someone else's sins. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. You and I can't do anything about anybody else's sin, so quit worrying about them and start dealing with your own. Jesus is addressing you today. Then sins. Thy sins, the times in life when you've had to miss the mark, you erred, you wronged someone, you made a mistake, you had sinful desires, you didn't believe, you didn't have faith, you didn't trust God, you were lewd in your words or your actions, you deviated from God's plan for your life, you failed in performance of your duties, you broken an Old Testament or a New Testament commandment, you've fallen short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are. Thy sins are. It's a simple verb, declaring and affirming the truth right now. Thy sins are forgiven. Now, by the way, thy sins, Jesus could have said your sins are obvious, your sins are hidden, your sins are fun, your sins are heavy, your sins are weighing you down. All of those are true. Your sins may be destroying you. Your sins may be destroying others. Your sins may be waking you up at night. But you have to deal with your sin. And then forgiven. What a word. It means you've been pardoned. It means your sins have been canceled. It means you've been loosed and set free. Your sins have been released from you. You've been free from slavery to sin to become a servant of God. You have the ability to follow God instead of fleeing from God. You have the ability to flee from sin and run to the Lord. Now, thy sins are forgiven. That means you have now the possibility of a personal relationship with God. To have a right relationship, you must be right with God. And before you have a right relationship with God, forgiveness must be obtained through some means. Well, Jesus' death on the cross makes your forgiveness possible. See, he paid the price for sin. The wages of sin is death. And he was the perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God was slain for my sin and for yours. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. If he'd stayed in the grave, we would have no Savior. We'd have no eternal life. We'd have no place in heaven. But now we can have a restored relationship with God. We can have restored relationship with others. Because we are forgiven, we are also called to be forgivers. A pastor finished his message early one Sunday, and he wanted to check his congregation's understanding. So he said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" Well, there was a long pause, and finally from the back of the room, a little boy spoke up, and he said, "I guess you have to sin." Well, I suspect we don't have a problem fulfilling that prerequisite. But Jesus reveals another prerequisite for God to forgive us is our willingness to forgive others. Oh, step out of the spirit of unforgiveness. Confess it to God. Repent of it. Turn from it. And forgive those who have wronged you. February 24, 2005, just days after the head-on crash that killed their three sons, Nathan and Connie Backstrom did something most people would consider remarkable. They forgave the person responsible. Matthew, Jacob, and Justin Backstrom died after a man, 22 at the time of the accident, swerved into their car on a dark two-lane road. He apparently was using a cell phone and had been drinking that night. This young man has consequences for his actions, and so I can forgive him because my God has forgiven me, Nathan Backstrom said days after the accident. It's my duty as a Christian. I can't carry that for the rest of my life, carrying that anger. It's similar to what Erica Kirk did, as she announced at that memorial service for Charlie Kirk, "I forgive him." And she forgives the man. Oh, there's great peace when we know we are forgiven. But there's also great peace when we forgive others. I want to ask you a question. Will you let those four words change your life? Thy sins are forgiven. Simon could have had the same forgiveness, but his faith was in himself, not Jesus Christ. What about you? Will you quit trusting what you've done and accept what Jesus has done for you? Will you place your trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? And then let somebody know about it. If you pray, if you call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save you today and to forgive your sin, give you the gift of eternal life, then let us know about it. We'd love to rejoice with you. And we'll give you some material that will help you live for God and get yourself into a Bible-believing church. Obey the Lord in water baptism. And then that's publicly identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. So listen, thy sins be forgiven. George Wilson in 1830 was arrested for mail theft and sentenced to execution by hanging. President Andrew Jackson granted him a pardon, but he refused to accept it. Chief Justice John Marshall issued this decision: a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no longer a pardon. Will you accept God's pardon for you? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ today? Call upon him. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. He will. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great Monday, everybody. And I'll look forward to being with you again on the radio tomorrow. And until then, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.